ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 16, कृष्णा चैस्टाइजेस द सर्पेंट कालिया। वी विल रीड फ्रॉम वर्स 6 टू वर्स 10। तम चंडवेगा विषवीर्यम् अवेक्षतेन दुष्टम नाडिम दुष्टाम नदीम चखल संयमनावतारः कृष्णः कदम्बम् अधिरुह्य ततो अतितुङ्गम् आस्फोट्य गाढरशनो न्यपदद् विशोदे। तम चंडवेग विषवीर्यमवेक्षतेन दुष्टाम नदीम च खल संयमनावतारः कृष्णः कदम्बम् अधिरुह्य ततोऽतितुङ्गम् आस्फोट्य गाढरशनो न्यपदत् विशोदे। तम् चण्डवेग विषवीर्यम् अवेक्षतेन दुष्टाम् नदीम् च खल संयमनावतारः कृष्णः कदम्बमधिरुह्य ततोऽतितुङ्गम् आस्फोट्य गाढरशनो न्यपदत् विशोदे। Ladies, తమ్ హిమ్ కాలియా చండ వేగ ఆఫ్ ఫియర్సమ్ పవర్ విష ద పాయిజన్ వీర్యం హూజ్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్ అవేక్ష సీయింగ్ తేన బై హిమ్ దుష్టాం కంటామినేటెడ్ నదిం ద రివర్ చ అండ్ ఖల ద ఎన్వియస్ డీమన్స్ సయ్యమానా ఫార్ సబ్డ్యూయింగ్ అవతారః హూజ్ డిసెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ వరల్డ్ కృష్ణ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ కదంబం అకదంబ ట్రీ అధిరుహ్య క్లైంబింగ్ అప్ ఆన్ తతః ఫ్రమ్ ఇట్ అతి తుంగం వెరీ హై ఆస్ఫోట్య స్లాపింగ్ హిజ్ ఆర్మ్స్ గాఢ రశన టైయింగ్ హిజ్ బెల్ట్ ఫర్మ్లీ న్యపతత్ హి జంప్డ్ విష ఉదే ఇన్ టు ది పాయిజనస్ వాటర్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ సా హౌ ది కాలియా సర్పెంట్ హ్యాడ్ పొల్యూటెడ్ ద యమున రివర్ విత్ హిస్ టెరిబలీ పవర్ఫుల్ పాయిజన్ సిన్స్ కృష్ణ హ్యాడ్ డిసెండెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది స్పిరిచువల్ వరల్డ్ స్పెసిఫికలీ టు సబ్డ్యూ ఎన్వియస్ డీమన్స్ ద లార్డ్ ఇమీడియట్లీ క్లైంబ్డ్ అప్ ఆన్ ద టాప్ ఆఫ్ ఎ వెరీ హై కదంబ ట్రీ ప్రిపేర్డ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఫర్ బ్యాటిల్ హీ టైటన్డ్ హిజ్ బెల్ట్ స్లాప్డ్ హిజ్ ఆర్మ్స్ అండ్ దెన్ జంప్డ్ ఇన్ టు ది పాయిజనస్ వాటర్ పర్పోర్ట్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ఆచార్యస్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ ఆల్సో టైడ్ బ్యాక్ ద లాక్స్ ఆఫ్ హిజ్ హెయిర్ యాజ్ హీ ప్రిపేర్డ్ to the battle of Kalia. The translation of the next verse is as follows. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead landed in the serpent's lake, the snakes there became extremely agitated and began breathing heavily, further polluting it with volumes of poison. The force of the Lord's entrance into the lake caused it to overflow on all sides, and poisonous, fearsome waves flooded the surrounding lands up to a distance of 100 bow lengths. This is not at all amazing, however, for the Supreme Lord, because for the Supreme Lord possesses infinite strength. Krishna began sporting in the Kaliya's lake like a lordly elephant, swirling his mighty arms and making the water resound in various ways. When Kaliya heard these sounds, he understood that someone is trespassing in his lake. The serpent could not tolerate this and immediately came forward. According to the acharyas, Lord Krishna was producing wonderful musical sounds within the water simply by splashing his hands and arms. Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, was very delicate, his attractive body shining like a glowing white cloud, his chest bearing the mark of Sivatsa, his face smiling beautifully, and his feet resembling the whirl of a lotus flower. The Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. Despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously bit him on the chest and then completely enwrapped him in his coils. The last verse. When the members of the cowherd community, who had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend, saw him enveloped in the snake's coils, motionless, they were greatly disturbed. They had offered Krishna everything, their very selves, their families, their wealth, wives and all the pleasures. At the sight of the Lord in the clutches of Kaliya's snake, their intelligence became deranged by grief, lamentation and fear. And thus they fell down to the ground. Srila Sanatan Goswami explains that the cowherd boys, along with some cowherd men and farmers who happened to be in the vicinity, were also devotees of Krishna, fell to the ground, just as the trees that had been cut at the root. Om Akyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टम् स्थापितम् येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। सो टुडेज श्रीमद् भागवतम सीन इज एट द बैंक ऑफ जमुना, and today at today's date it happens to be just below the Madan Mohan temple, Madan Ter, then Iskon Goshala, then another half kilometer you come to Kaliaghat. In the olden days Jamuna would flow right there. Even recent past also we have seen Jamuna ji very close to that place. She has changed the track, but the very presence of the Kshatriyas and the steps remind us that Yamuna ji would flow there. And the beautiful tree, very very unusually growing and expanding tree of Kadamba, also reminds us of the pastime of Krishna jumping from that tree in Yamuna. So you must have heard on Sunday about who the Kaliya was in this past life. He was Vedashira, cursed by Ashvashira. Brief history about this is Prajapati Daksha married his 11 daughters to Maharshi Kashyapa, and one of his wife, that is daughter of Prajapati Daksha, was Kadru. This Kadru incarnated as Rohini Devi, who is the eternal mother of Baladev. And this Kadru, as Kadru, gave birth to many great snakes. Few of them are Vasuki and also Kaliya, also Takshaka. Takshaka was supposed to be 250,000 miles long. Similarly was Kaliya, with 1,000 hoods. Some places it mentioned he had 108 hoods. Some places it mentioned he had 100 hoods. But he had many hoods. Mountainous body with great power to expand. So the eldest son of this Kadru was Shesha, Ananta Shesha, Faniraj Ananta Shesha. And this Faniraj Ananta Shesha was ordered by Lord Narayan to go 1 lakh yojanas towards Patal Loka, below Patal Loka, and lift the Bhumandala. And he asked Krishna how long I should hold. So Lord said, with your 1,000 hoods, you keep chanting my holy names, and when you find the end of my holy names, you can put the Bhumandala down. Which means what? Eternally you hold. So only on one of his hold, 108th hood, Ananta Shesha held the Bhumandala. And when Ananta Shesha went down 1 lakh yojanas, Brahmaji inspired all the snakes to go with him. And there he made a place for them, Ramanaka Dweep, where he allowed all the snakes to reside very peacefully. Garuda used to go there at Ramanaka Dweep regularly to eat snakes, and he would devour all the snakes. So one time the Garuda Dev was approached by the assembly of snakes and requested that, can you take one snake per month and then we will give you some nice palatable dishes and herbs along with that. So he agreed, and then he would come every month and take one snake and with lot of other wonderful preparations. When Kaliya's turn came, Kaliya ate all the offerings which were meant for Garuda. So Garuda was very very unhappy and he was very angry. So he attacked Kaliya. And there was a very very fierce war between Kaliya and Garuda. It was a very tough fight, but finally Garuda became overpowering and Kaliya started running. Then Kaliya started running to, after the great war, he ran to 7 islands of the Brahmanda. Then he went to over 7 oceans. Then he went to Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swarloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, and then he went to his eldest brother, Lord Shesha, and surrendered to him and said, please save me from Garuda. Because wherever he went, people saw Garuda chasing him, so nobody said, that we will help you, because they saw Garuda, the Vahan of Lord Vishnu, their masters, nobody want to interfere. But when Ananta Shesha was approached by Kaliya, out of compassion and love for his brother, Ananta Shesha told him a story of Sabori Muni. That Sabori Muni performed tapasya underwater of Jamuna for 10,000 years. And Garuda would come there at Jamuna to kill fishes. And one time the king of the fishes underwater of Jamuna was killed by Garuda. So that time, out of compassion for the co-residents of under Jamuna water, Sabori Muni was very angry and he cursed Garuda, "If ever you come again to do anything with this water and disturb the living entities, you will die immediately." So that part of Jamuna was, of course, Garuda didn't have to bother about the curse of a Muni. He was the personal associate of the Lord. But still, out of respect to Sadhu, he kept his word and didn't go to Jamuna. So Ananta Shesha reminded Kaliya of this curse given by Sabori Muni to Garuda. So he said, "You please go safely to the bank of Jamuna and live in the lake at the side of Jamuna, and Garuda will not be disturbing you." So on the order of Shesha, all the way traveling from, he went upstairs, then he is traveling from Janaloka, Maharloka, Swarloka, Bhuvarloka, Bhuloka, and he came to Jamuna. And specifically Ananta Shesha told him, "Go to the Vipina Purandar, go to the loving forest of Krishna, Vrindavan in the Jamuna, and stay there in Jamuna." So Kaliya entered waters of Jamuna, and who all came with him? All his wives, all his children, all his eggs also it is mentioned. And all his friends and the soldiers also came along with him. And they occupied that particular Doha, that is lake, which was 8 miles long and which was unlimitedly deep. Nobody could fathom the depth like oceans. And the poison of all the snakes, along with the great volumes of poison of Kaliya himself, the whole lake became very poisonous. Flames of fire and poison would come up on the waves of Jamuna, and it created a fiery mist, a fog or smoke for another 8 miles in radius along with the flow of Jamuna. And in the mist, any bird would fly, he would drop dead. All the living entities which were stavar, which was stationary like trees and creepers and everybody, they were all dead. Such was the situation, and a kind of, you know, mystic fear was created by Kaliya. And Kaliya had a siddhi, many siddhis he had, Mahima, Anima, like that. But he had one siddhi called Jalastambha. Jalastambha means you can create solid objects from the water of Jamuna, or water, from any water. So he created a palace and a huge city underwater Jamuna by the power of siddhi of Jalastambha. And he remained in the great depths of Jamuna water very peacefully with all his family members, but at the same time hissing poison regularly. So kind of a transcendental environment in Vrindavan was disturbed by this mystic, foggy, smoky, deathly environment created by Kaliya. And what happened was, there were all trees at the bank of Jamuna dead. But there was one tree of Kadamba, which I explained to you, a very beautiful tree, was alive. And Gopal Champu in other scriptures, Puranas, explained that Garuda had put few drops of nectar when there was Samudra Manthan and all that fight was going on. Garuda was running with the pot of Kumbha of Amruta. Few drops were put on the Kadamba tree. That's why only that tree was alive. Today also, you will be very amazed to know, there is a special Kumbh Mela which occurs once in 12 years in Vrindavan itself for 40 days. In the memory of that event where Garuda dropped few drops of Amrit on that Kadamba tree. It was only 2 years back or 3 years back. Also, some other explanation is that all trees were dead, including this tree also. But as soon as Krishna touched his lotus feet on this tree came back to life. Anyway, so we come back to the scene now. What is happening is that That day was the birth nakshatra of Balramji. That is Shravana nakshatra. So, although not birthday of Krishna, Balramji, but on the birth nakshatra of Balramji, all the coward boys headed by Nanda Maharaj and Rohini wanted to give a divine bath to Lord Balram. So that day Krishna went to herd the cows. By this time he had become Gopal from Vatsapal. So he had taken big cows and gone all the way to Vrindavan to herd the cows. And Balramji did not go because of the ceremony at home. And coward boys and cows grazed everywhere. They got very thirsty. So they came to the bank of Jamuna, exactly where the lake was. They were actually puzzled to see the atmosphere there, but they were very thirsty. So cows went and immediately drank the water. As soon as the cows drank the water, they fell unconscious. Looking at the unconscious cows, the coward men who loved the cows like anything, they were coward boys, they also drank the water purposely and they also dropped unconscious. Krishna came running behind, he saw the love of the coward boys for the cows and all of them dead. So it is said that he glanced over them. His glance was like Amruta dripping from his eyes, lotus eyes. And it is explained that at one point that he glanced at everybody and they all woke up. They became alive. And in other explanation is given that actually tears of nectar were falling from his eyes on the ground and Krishna walked amongst all the unconscious coward men, boys, and the tears actually fell on them and they woke up. Nectar dripping from his lotus eyes. They revived. When they got up, they happily embraced one another and they glorified Krishna. See, at one time also, a couple of days ago, he saved us from Agasura. Now he has again saved us from this particular poison. So Krishna, remembering that he had come to punish the demons, the miscreants, he went and jumped up on the Kadamba tree. This seems that Kadamba tree was so high, touching the clouds and kissing the sky. On the top of that Kadamba tree, Krishna went. And he gathered his locks of hair and tied them. He tied the turban again. He tightened his waist belt with the cloth that he was using as Uttariya. And he flapped his arms, Asphotya. And then he clenched his lotus palm into a fist. Like all these people they do when they are about to begin their battle. In the expecting a victory ahead. What do you call that? Expecting a victory ahead. He clenched his feet like this and then he jumped from there, from the top of the tree in the waters of Jamuna. Before jumping into the water of Jamuna, he called his friends and told him, "Don't be afraid, my friends. I will take care of this particular demon in the water." At that time, before jumping, Krishna's face was lit by the row of radiant teeth that he had. It was bright. He beamed a very confident smile to all the coward boys. His tender body and the slender waist displayed his prime youth. And he appeared very relaxed, not in anxiety or excitement. It also explained that this was Pauganda age. Pauganda age was just over. And at that time, before starting the herding of cows as Gopal, he had started casting sidelong glances to gopis. And their youthful affection for Krishna was just beginning. The conjugal affairs. In the verse 7, it is explained, Krishna plunged into Jamuna as kingfisher fish dives to catch a fish in waters. The water of Jamuna splashed everywhere, and because of that heaviness Krishna created in his body, the water splashed for long distance, and at that time all the snakes which were at the bank of the Jamuna river, in the Jamuna river, they hissed more and more poison. Volumes of poison were poured in the water and they all flooded across 4 miles on the banks of Jamuna. So all these coward boys and the cows who saw water coming over flooded started running behind. Then the water, Krishna, what he did with his, as an elephant of demigods, it is called as lordly elephant, very godly elephant. Krishna used his both arms and swirled the waters of Jamuna and created such beautiful sound which attracted demigods. So you can imagine there is a contrast over here. He was creating by his transcendental hands very beautiful sound vibrations with the water, but that was disturbing Kaliya. So he came out of his water. He thought, who is this boy? Who can dare to come in the realms of my depths of my palace? It appeared to him as if it was fever of death coming upon him in the form of Krishna. It agitated all the snakes, agitated Kaliya, and their poison and anger and hissing created flames of poison which were topping the waves of Jamuna at that moment. Jamuna was very disturbed and agitated. Kaliya could not tolerate the agitation and the vigorous vibrations of the water. He felt life-threatening fever attacking him. At the same time, when Kaliya came out, and wondering who can dare to come in, everybody drops dead, what to speak of, thinking of coming in, and somebody has come in. So he came out to see, and what he saw? He saw Krishna, whose beauty was surpassing a beautiful tamal tree. He was very peacefully looking. He was very pleasing looking. He had a handsome effulgence, which defeated Kandarpa, that is the Cupid. He had yellow silk garments. His chest was decorated with Srivatsa. His face had a beautiful smile, radiant with transcendental happiness. His feet resembled whirl of lotus. And his body was covered with sandalwood pulp that the mothers and elderly gopis had smeared on him. Anybody could have seen this beautiful form in a very unique situation like this, underwater, could have got completely attracted. Such a sweet little boy who was so attractive at the beginning of his prime youth, effulgent, his teeth, his body was radiating lights of millions of suns, he was wearing peacock feather, decorated with sandalwood pulp, could have melted anybody's heart. But alas, because the heart of Kaliya was filled with envy and pride, he couldn't appreciate any of these things. What he thought was, how dare he come in my water domain to disturb me? He felt Krishna was a source of the intolerable fever, as I told you earlier. And then he was wondering how such a small boy could have killed such a big demon Agasur, who had endangered the lives and thoughts of all demigods who had fled away from their own kingdoms in heavens. That Agasur was so long and so big and so fearsome. How could this boy must have killed? Who is this boy? He was wondering. So what matters ultimately is consciousness. Everything around us is happening in a perfect way. It may be conceivable, it may not be conceivable, it may be difficult to understand, or may be easy to understand, it may be pleasing to our consciousness, it may not be pleasing to our consciousness. I want to say senses, external understanding. But if the consciousness is rightly situated, then one can get the full benefit. For example, Duryodhan also was witnessing Krishna. In fact, Duryodhan witnessed the Virat Rupa of Krishna. Anybody could, even out of fear, would surrender to that personality. But Duryodhan said, arrest him. Why? Because of envious consciousness. When there is envy, all the truth that is to be known by all of us is covered. And when there is no envy, the truth can be revealed and transferred to our hearts as it is. Even may not be 100%, but at least as it is, with some percentage. At the same time, Krishna entered Kamsa's arena. All of you know that everybody saw him in different ways. Somebody saw him as a friend, somebody saw him as a dearmost child, the ladies saw him as a Cupid, attractive boyfriend, and what Kamsa saw him as a messenger of death, death personified, just because of consciousness. So what we have to worry in life is where our consciousness is and how it is. If that is taken care, then our pathway to spiritual progress will be very smooth. Near Kaliya had the fortune that although he did not go to disturb Krishna wherever he was, Krishna came there, jumped in his waters and giving him darshan to him. It was actually enough for anybody's salvation. But that was not enough because he was filled with unlimited poison, because of which he was unlimitedly proud also. So, I would like to explain to you off the bit what was the journey of Kaliya's consciousness. Because ultimately we all know he became a pure devotee, worshipable and also being worshipped today also. In the beginning he was full of envy because he had 1,000 hoods filled with unlimited poison with so many siddhis, so he was very proud and he was very envious. His wives, it is explained that they would always preach him to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he never took them seriously because they were his wives. Also Krishna explains at one point that he could have come to Kaliya much earlier to teach him a lesson. But he was kind of embarrassed or kind of he had sankoch because of the wives of Kaliya who were devotees of Krishna. He didn't want to embarrass those beautiful surrendered wives of Kaliya who were his devotees. So he didn't go much before. Anyway, so there was a situation. Kaliya ignored the teachings of his wives. After darshan of Krishna, still he attacked Krishna. The wives were thinking, look at this husband of ours. Better he dies because he's not going to change. If he has his envious consciousness, it is better that he dies. But then when Krishna was dancing on him with every step, all the poison was coming down, coming out. He was vomiting blood and poison. And with every emission of poison and every emptying of every hood of the poison, he was becoming humble and he was coming in touch with the reality, the fact as it is. Each hood bent down, emptied of all poisons, losing all his strength to stand up. At that time he realized that my arch rival was Garuda. I fought with him. He was stronger than me. But this personality is millions of times more stronger than Garuda, which I experienced earlier. So he has to be supreme personality of Godhead and no one else. So because of the hits that Krishna gave him through his lotus feet, he became purified and he came to this conclusion. And at that very time, when there was transition in his consciousness from envy to no envy to appreciation and understanding, his wives got hope that from hopeless condition, our husband is coming to a hopeful condition. So they came out of their all holes. What they did? They put their eggs, they put their babies in front of them and they came behind them and came to Krishna. And they prayed to Sri Krishna to pardon him with beautiful prayers. Listening to those prayers with the understanding of Krishna being Supreme Personality of Godhead, listening to those prayers, Kaliya developed some devotional sentiments. And Nagapatis prayed. And then at the end of the prayers of the Nagapatnis, his own wives, by their association, by their sincerity, by their prayers which he heard, he offered beautiful prayers to Krishna. And then Krishna blessed him with his glance and made him into a pure devotee. And then he gave him abhay, he gave him freedom from fear from Garuda. And thus Kaliya became pure devotee. You can see the transition from where Kaliya had transported himself to a state of pure devotional service. And then he went to Ramanakadipa of course, back to his original place. We'll come back to that again. So at this moment Kaliya thought that Krishna must have killed mighty Asura by his very extremely wonderful expansive power, the power to expand. So Kaliya expanded himself into a form which was high like mountain and vast like anything else. He expanded his hoods, filled them with poisons like anything, with monstrous proportions. He wanted to smother and kill Krishna. So first he bit him on the chest and immediately he coiled Krishna tightly. At that moment all the coward boys who were made alive again by Krishna's glance, they lost their consciousness. They all fell down to the ground, freeing Krishna in the coils of Kaliya. The coward boys filled with fear and lamentation. They got paralyzed with grief. They were frozen with their palms on the forehead, lamenting, alas, alas, they wept profusely, seeing the whole world void and nearing the devastation. They collapsed on the ground. At the same time, they were experiencing Ashtavikar, the loving sentiments, eight different transformations of their body. Their intelligence became deranged with grief, fear and lamentation. At that time, looking at the piteous condition of coward boys and the cows, because the cows also were moving and calling Krishna in great helplessness, demigods came in the sky and started shouting, alas, alas. Their hair loosened and their clothes disheveled. Looking at the bad omens, which will come in the future verses, we will not speak about that. There were bad omens in the sky, on the earth and the bodies of people. What was happening was, coward boys, the elder coward men, Rohini, Yashoda and elder coward gopis, they were all bathing Balramji for the whole day ceremony. Suddenly they saw the bad omens in the sky. So some elderly gopis, which were usually shy, they would not talk in front of men, they came in front of men talking loudly. They said, what kind of leader of coward men is this, Nanda Maharaj? Doesn't he see bad omens in the sky and in the on the earth and in the ocean and in the rivers and in the bodies of people? Doesn't he understand that Krishna has gone to the poisonous lake of Jamuna today where Kaliya resides? So at this loud speaking, immediately all of them just stood up, stopped the ceremony and left. It is explained by Kavi Karnapur that from 1 year of age to unlimited age, old people, everybody started walking to Vrindavan. And while walking, they were so much in sorrow to see the bad omens that they knew imminent danger is there, Krishna's life is in danger, and they started shedding tears, and they all were holding hands of each other. The tears were making the path so wet that it became slippery, so they wanted to walk very fast, but they could not walk very fast. They walked still slowly with the support of Balramji and other cowherd boys. And they reached that place. And when they saw Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, they fell unconscious. At that moment, Balramji started counseling all these cowherd boys, also addressing cows, also addressing Rohini, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Long description, of course, will not go in that. He assured them that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had killed Agasura and so many big demons. You do not have to fear. This snake is insignificant. He would immediately take care of him. Do not worry. And he was laughing with confidence. Slowly, slowly, by the association of Balram's confidence, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Rohini, elderly cowherd boys, cowherd men and women, they got courage. And they could stand and could maintain the composure of standing. And so were eagerly still looking at the waters of Jamuna with Krishna in the coils of Kaliya. It is explained that Krishna was waiting for Balramji to counsel and to end his counseling. And as soon as he stopped speaking, Krishna decided that I must free myself from the coils of Kaliya. So he used Mahima Siddhi. He became so big that the Kaliya's coils could not anymore withhold him. Kaliya's coil became slackened, Kaliya's coil became very weak and without any strength. Krishna came out of it, and then there was a great war. Krishna dragged him for hundreds of miles in the waters of Kaliya, waters of Jamuna, beat him with his punch. Kaliya almost became unconscious, but still he was attacking Krishna again and again with his hoods and with his two tongues in each hood. He was attacking Krishna again and again, huge amount of flames and poison and mist he was throwing in the waters, making the water more polluted and more dark in color. And at that time, Krishna jumped on the hoods of Kaliya. That is the time when he jumped. And it is explained that why he did that, because he had his innermost desire to dance, number one. And second, he was requested a couple of days ago by the gopis that we want to see you dancing. We have heard that you are Nataraj, and we want to see you dancing. So he wanted to also fulfill the desire of gopis who were blossoming their youthful love for Krishna. It has just begun. So Kavi Karnapur explains that on one level Krishna created an inauspicious situation of death for all the cowherd boys, because he wanted to taste, relish, and he wanted to test the love of cowherd boys and gopis for him. And he wanted them to run to him in helpless condition to express their love and affection for him. Another level, he wanted to satisfy his own desire to dance and the gopis' desire for him to dance. So there are many verses which will allow other speakers to speak in detail. I will not like to speak on that. But there are many amazing things about this pastime which we would like to discuss. First of all, a dancer always dances on a steady platform, right? And there are many steps, and Kavi Karnapur explains how there is ta ta thai, thai thai thak, thak thak thai, which explains how Krishna was dancing. But amazing thing is Krishna was dancing on the unstable, movable platforms of the heads of Kaliya, which is very unusual. It is explained that Krishna danced in the sky and in the waters. It is said that he would jump a mile up in the sky and makes up steps and actions. And then whenever he would see another head of Kaliya coming up with pride, he would jump on that head and dance on that. Again he would jump up in the sky and do some beautiful actions and jump on the again rising head hood of Kaliya. And whenever he would jump down on the hood of Kaliya, that hood will lose all his poison, blood and flames would come out of that and would bend down in helpless and powerless condition. Now another contrast is that some of the he was dancing by foot, of course, definitely a lotus feet, but some of the hoods Krishna pulled down by hand also, because they were all rising again and again with poison, so he pulled them by hand also. It is explained that the lotus feet of Krishna was so soft like butter, so much soft that even somebody will touch with finger, it will become red there. And when Krishna decided to go to herd cows instead of cow babies, long distances, the gopis, simply by imagining that these soft lotus feet would now touch stones, pebbles and thorns, and then what would happen if it bleeds, if they bleed, and just nothing has happened, in the thought only they were imagining that what would happen, and they would cry. They would cry for the whole day, worrying that would he step on such things, and the heart would melt in the thoughts of his feet touching all those things on the grounds of Vrindavan. Of course, the cows had already made all those things into powder. But still, love is always love. You can't explain the love. Why you think like this? Don't you know that cows are already made this dust and thorns into a beautiful makhan-like dust? But cow gopis' hearts would always cry. Such lotus, soft, you know, cotton-like lotus feet of Krishna were falling on the heads of Kaliya. And what was Kaliya experiencing? Vajraghat. Thunderbolts. Again Virudabhas, again contrast. At one point of time, Krishna was seen dancing so gracefully, so attractively, so skillfully, that it was attracting the hearts of all gopis. And what happened? All the demigods and demigoddesses and people from Siddha Loka and Chanur Loka and Vidyadhar Loka and Kimpurush Loka and Gandharva Loka and Yaksha Loka were supposed to be very, very great musical people. Some of them are expert in dancing, some of them are expert in musical instrument, some of them are expert in singing, and all varieties of music, they are all expert specialized. Apsaras were expert dancers of the Swargalokas, they all gathered in the sky, looking at this beautiful, skillful, graceful dance of Krishna. And what happened? They wanted to accompany Krishna with their instruments, with their bheris and dundubhis and with their drums and kettle drums. They wanted to accompany. They wanted to sing some ragas to understand what is happening, but it was explained that they constantly kept on trying and trying and trying to understand what taal is this, what rag is this, what kind of sur is this. And then it is explained, after long efforts of trying to accompany Krishna in his wonderful dance, they failed miserably, but they were so blissful still, they danced in their own taal and own sur and own rag. They kept on dancing, helplessly and happily. But they could not catch up with Krishna. The same experience was there when Krishna was dancing with gopis at Vasanti Ras Lila, at Chandra Sarovar also. All the demigods, including Chandra, Brahma, Shiva, all gathered there, and they tried to match up with the sur and taal of the dance. And what was their music? They were only using their bangles and ankle bells and flute of Krishna. That was all their accompaniment of music. But still, what dance they were doing, what musical sounds they were producing, the demigods could not even fathom and could not even match up with that. So you can see, there is another contrast, that here one personality is experiencing so much fear, lamentation, near-death experience, vajraghat, and at one level people are experiencing something which is so affluent, so transcendental and so fabulous musically, subtly also for them. At one scene there is, people are anxious, also anxiety is there, also happiness is there, that our beautiful Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Krishna. And Krishna is interacting with all these people simultaneously. The wives of Kaliya are fearful. All the snakes are fearful, hissing. And Kaliya is experiencing near-death experience. The coward boys. And Balaram is standing very happily, confidently, smiling, assuring everybody. This is the scene. So finally it is said, Apsaras were put to shame by Krishna. But they kept dancing the way they wanted. And this is the time of Leela of Krishna, where Krishna had just become youth. So Krishna actually by this dance was developing the conjugal love of the gopis in the heart. So this is the time of actually beginning and development of the conjugal ras between gopis and Krishna. And Krishna completely mesmerized them, helped them to develop attraction for him. It's in much, much more intensity than before. Although the lotus feet of Krishna served Kaliya as thunderbolt of death, the dance was merely a playful activity. It was not at all a strain. If you see Narasingha Dev fighting with Hiranyakashipu, there is a big battle. Varaha Dev fighting with Hiranyakashipu, there is a big battle. Lord Ramchandra fighting with Ravan, there is so much of effort. Devi fighting with Mahishasura, there is so much of effort. But Krishna killing, subduing Kaliya is simply a play. Simply a happiness. He was, when he jumped, also was enjoying swallowing the water. He was swimming a long distance in the water. Then when he, dragging Kaliya by his tail, was a wonderful play for him. And he was jumped on the hoods of Kaliya, was the most wonderful, happy experience for Krishna. So this is the adbhut nature of Krishna's pastime dancing on Kaliya. At the same time, Krishna, he is greatest of all environment purifier. Paryavaran, Shuddhikarana. Krishna purified Jalatattva by subduing Kaliya, asking him to leave and purifying the waters of Jamuna. Krishna purified Prithvi Tattva in the form of Varahadev by lifting her from Garbhodaka ocean and placing her back in his own orbit. Krishna killed Trunavarta and purified the Vayu Tattva. Krishna drank Damanal and purified the Agni Tattva. And Krishna killed Vyomasur and purified the Avakash Tattva, the space, ether. And in this beautiful pastime, Krishna was relating at one time with all the demigods, demigoddesses, apsaras, the coward boys who had changing emotion from anxiety, fear, lamentation to joy, to happiness. He was exchanging beautiful glances with gopis, developing their love. He was dealing with Kaliya, he was dealing with Nagapatnis at the same time. The same time when he was entering Dhenuka, in Talavan, he was relating with all different kinds of birds, all the blades of grasses, all the trees, creepers, cowherd boys, cows, everybody together, and they were having fun, but he was actually making sounds of all the birds, responding to each and every living entity simultaneously, giving them great transcendental joy. So, Kaliya's pastime of Krishna is actually a very beautiful experience, that Kaliya underwent great agony with every thump, every punch and every footstep of Krishna. He had to undergo too much agony. His poison of envy and pride had to be expressed out forcefully by Krishna. And he underwent too much of pain while undergoing. He had not one hood that Krishna had to do only once. He had to undergo 1,000 times, unlimited times on each hood that Krishna had to attack and thump to empty him of all the poison. So, in our life also, as long as our heart is envious and because of that of full of pride, whatever Krishna will do will be very painful for us. But if our consciousness is fine, then what will we will understand in the end? Like Kaliya, in the end of the whole story, he never said, why you jumped on me? Why it was so painful to me? Why you are doing all this to me? In the end, he said, thank you very much. I thank you also. I thank my wives also. They were so kind upon me. I forgot to mention one stage of development of Kaliya's consciousness. I'm very sorry. I'll now explain to you that when Krishna was thumping each of his hood, Kaliya remembered all the teachings done by his wives to him. When he realized that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, at the same time, all the preachings that his wives had done to him, he remembered. So we should understand that we should never lose faith that our preachings will go waste. Maybe some envious person, some rebellious person, some scientist, some faithless person, agnostic, we spoke to and it was all waste of time. And 2-3 hours we just wasted, instead of we should have chanted some extra rounds. It is not like that. Whatever we speak with sincere heart, it may not be received at that time by the person who is receiving our preaching, but it remains in hard disk. And by the dint of the sincerity of you who is preaching to those people, a right occasion comes in the life of that person with maybe some misery or some mishap may occur, and a right time comes that hard disk information in his brain start getting processed. Like that, at that time it appeared to his wife that is a waste of time telling her husband. Such an envious person, better he dies.
But when Krishna's lotus feet were thumping on his head, or heads, what happened? His consciousness changed. And he remembered everything what was told by his dear wives, mercifully and compassionately to him. So, this is a transition that takes place in the hearts of everybody. I will not share it here, but I'll tell you that I also had an experience in my life. The Dayaram Prabhu who was preaching me told me so many things at that time, and I just rejected every single thing whatever he was telling me. To the extent I told him, get lost from my life. Don't come again to meet me. I'm not interested in this. And then one event happened in my life on 31st January 1983. And there was such a ghastly and embarrassing event. And believe me, all the preachings that he had done to me were resounding in my mind at that time. And that time I understood that preachings done with sincere heart for Krishna consciousness never go waste. They will reap, come out, get revived at one opportune time when Krishna desires. We should simply keep praying. At the same time, when we get purified by chanting Hare Krishna and by the company of devotees, like he had the association of devotees like his wives. We did not take them seriously. But still the association worked. Huh? Association may be there, may be appearing to be fruitless by some situations. But association has long-lasting, eternal effect, even though it may take time to fructify. And if by that association we come to understanding one day that, oh yeah, good, what happened was right, then what will happen? Our life will become extension of Krishna's pastimes. Our life in itself become part of Krishna's Leela. How will it make part of Leela of Krishna? When we allow it to happen that way. When we accept, Kaliya, maybe unwillingly, maybe forcefully accepted the thumbs of Krishna's lotus footprints, feet on his head, very painfully. But nonetheless, he had to accept it. Later on, in the part of the Leela, he accepted it willfully. All his head bent down, powerless, prideless, envyless, completely purified. And he accepted Krishna's lotus footprints on his head as part of his pastimes. In one sense, he assisted Krishna in his pastimes. So what we can do in our life, if difficulties come and we get pain like Kaliya got by the footprints of Krishna, we may say, thank you Krishna. I may not understand exactly what is happening, what are you emptying me of, but I know from my Shravanam and Kirtanam of the past that something deadly must be coming out of me. It will be painful to me when these things are coming out of me. Naturally, when poison was coming out from the hoods with blood and flames, Kaliya was in deep pain. Like that, I also may get pain, but my Lord, I know that by the mercy of devotees and by mercy of you, I am getting purified. So please, nachao, nachao, the way you want me to dance and where you want me to go through, just give me strength to endure whatever you want me to go through. All our lives can become the wonderful part of Krishna's Leela simply by accepting it and allowing it to happen the way Krishna wants it to happen. In other words, by saying, yes, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord. When this thing will happen, our life will become a very glorious part of Krishna's Leela. In fact, what is happening today also in this world is simply Krishna's Leela. Because we do not have proper consciousness, it appears otherwise, appears painful, appears like, where is the Lord? Is He there? Why things are happening like this? Why rapes are taking place? Why there are mishaps like this? Because we have improper consciousness. But if our consciousness is perfectly situated by the dint of our sadhana and by the mercy of devotees and Guru and Krishna, then we will understand that everything is happening so perfectly. And when we realize that everything that is happening in our life, may it be happiness or sorrow, it is a perfect arrangement of the Lord to take all of us back to Him in the kingdom of Godhead, then now also, before even going back to Godhead, all these things will appear to you and us as Leelas of the Lord. So as Nagapatnis, by their prayers, made it possible for Kaliya to understand that it was Krishna's pastime. He wanted to dance. He wanted to please his gopis. He wanted to please coward boys. He wanted to invigorate love in the hearts of gopis and the elderly gopis and the coward boys and the cows and the calves. Let us all accept that ultimately Krishna is playing his flute. One Guru Maharaj says, whatever is happening in your life, it may be mishap, it may be cancer, it may be death, it may be disease, it may be loss, it may be so many painful things. But ultimately, under the Kadamba tree, at the bank of Jamuna, Krishna is playing flute and Radharani is standing next to him. All the gopis are accompanying and assisting him and them in that beautiful pastime. And there is a bejeweled throne on which they sit down. They are seated and he is playing flute and attracting everybody. This fact doesn't change. This fact is eternal. And if you keep remembering that, what Narottam Das Thakur says, Nitya lila sukha moe, sadai spuruka moro mane. Those Nitya lila can be remembered by me, and also what is going on in my life also can be accepted as Nitya lila of Krishna. This is the miracle of Krishna consciousness. In one event, Krishna turned an envious personality into a pure devotee. And he said, now onwards there is no fear for you from Garuda, because Garuda will worship you, what to speak of attacking you. As soon as he will see my lotus footprints on your hoods, he will bow down to you. And then you go fearless to Ramanaka Dweep. And today also, there is one Ramanaka Dweep at the bottom of Patal Loka. But another Ramanaka Dweep is there in the reference of King Sagara, whose Vamshaj was Bhagirath, who brought Ganga Devi on earth. In that pastime it is explained that he dug earth at a certain point, and Ramanaka Dweep was revealed there also. So by Prabhupada's explanation, Kaliya went to that Ramanaka Dweep on earthly planet. And in Ramanaka Dweep is today is Fiji Islands. And there Kaliya is worshipped as a pure devotee of the Lord. There is temple of Kaliya. So you can see transformation. From envy, envy is one of the six vikaras which is incurable. I mean, envy cannot be attached to Krishna. Lust can be used in service to Krishna. Anger can be used in service to Krishna. Intoxication can be used in service to Krishna. But not envy. But here, by the mercy of Krishna, the envy can be emptied out. So we have hope that maybe it is painful, maybe it is troublesome, difficult. But there is a hope that this poison of envy, which separates us from Krishna eternally, can be also nullified, evacuated, emptied. And the pure devotion which is hidden under the weight of the envy can be released, realized and experienced in our very life, in this very lifetime. So let us all pray. At this moment we are all sitting at the bank of Kaliya Ghat, the bank of Jamuna, under the beautiful tree which is expanding all sides. Next to that is Dwadasha Aditya Teel, where Krishna went after coming out of Jamuna. It was very cold. And 12 Adityas, 12 sons came and gave him heat, and he sweated, and the divine swathe of his body came down and formed a Praskandan Sarovar, which is not there today, which we saw 25 years back. It's a beautiful location. So let us imagine ourselves there, we are all there, and pray to Krishna, pray to Nagapatnis to be merciful upon us, to give us mercy so that we can one day hope ourselves to get free from this envy, which is separating us from Krishna, from our devotional service. And we can become pure devotees like Kaliya, the most hopeless personality, became a pure devotee of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Is there any question or comment by anybody? Anybody would like to ask? Yes. Please ask only about Kaliya. That is better. Anybody else like to ask? Yes, yes, Matish, yes.
Jara here for many years. Rupa Raghunath.
He was here, yes.
Yes, as a pujari. So he also gave a class on Kaliya. And Achcha. It was very nice, just like yours is very nice, thank you. And he expanded a little on that imagery of Krishna dancing on the heads of Kaliya, and he was saying how he had the dancing is like stomping, because if you have a sponge or a rag and you squeeze it once, or you know, some the liquid comes out, but sometimes you have to pound it many, many times. So he was explaining how another reason that Kaliya had to dance on each head because he really had to squeeze that poison out.
Yeah, he danced in unlimited steps he put on each hood. Mm-hmm. But he had to do that again and again because there was so much poison of envy.
Yes.
Each one, when he jumped on, flames and blood and poison would come out, but still he had some more, so he would again stand up and again raise his hood. Again Krishna would jump on that. So it was
and
a gracious.
Then he had to go to the next head.
Yes,
too.
Yes. He was jumping in the sky and then looking at the risen head, he would jump again down and do his very skillful step. Actually, he didn't have to pressurize any time. He was only doing skillfully. It was appearing like a huge pressure for Kaliya. That's all. Anybody else has any comment to make? Kaliya Daman Krishna Bhagavan ki, Kaliya Ghat ki, Jamuna Devi ki, Sibrindavan Dham ki, Dvadasha Aditya Tila ki, Praskandan Sarovar ki, Itai Gau Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.